Ladies and gentlemen, my name is VexX. This is the Vex on Vex podcast, episode number 10, featuring our third installment of hanging out with members of Pagan. To the right of me is Michael Belinsky.
Hello, everybody. And I just sat down a beer can, the softest any beer can has ever been sat down.
Because I have this problem with making noise against my table and recording a podcast. To my left is the one, the only, the Puerto Rican Corey.
Hola.
Hola! Okay. Hello, Corey.
Hey, how are you going? How are you doing?
How am I going?
I'm going
good, motherfucker. So welcome to the Vex on Vex podcast. This is episode number 10. This is our third installment with the Gentleman and Pagan. I believe this will be our final installment for a while. Now, we've been kind of connecting the three episodes. So staying with the thread previously, Michael Belinsky, explain to us the first time that you came across pornography.
I don't remember specifically what the first time was, but I remember the early days, the magazines that I had access to when I was a really, really little kid was Gent.
Why would you remember the title? Although I do remember Gent, actually.
Gent was like dirtier.
Well, no, here's the thing. There was a standard that Playboy had that they were trying to be fancy. Hey, Jay, we said fancy. And Michael's putting his pinky out as he drinks his beer. But,
to show him fancy.
It was, like, uppity. They were like, hey, we're fancy. And then Hostler's like, hi, would you like to see the inside of a pussy? Here's her lungs.
Word on the podcast is fancy.
And then Gent was like, we just found this girl in an alley. Yeah,
so is that the meth version? Gent was the meth version of pornography?
Yeah, Gent was... It was kind of gross, but because I was a little kid, I was like, now I wouldn't look at that. First off, they're not even hitting each other.
So I was just going to say that.
But now, like, I wouldn't be interested in something like that. But then, like, just out of morbid curiosity. And then my first real job, because I guess it was around, like, first grade, I was delivering flyers and stuff like that. And then in second or third grade, I got a job stocking shelves at a porn shop.
You're fucking shitting me.
No, totally, totally serious.
What the fuck is wrong with your father?
A lot.
I like your dad. I do.
I'm glad.
But what the fuck? Yo,
he made me quit when he found out.
So were you like the kid in Goodfellas? Like you're hanging out at the taxi stand?
No, it was near where we lived. And a little bookshop opened up. And I was like, hey, I'm going to go. They sold porn and comic books. Like regular comic books.
That's the best combination.
Yeah, and then the rest
Corey,
of the shop.
You sick fucker.
The shop was like, say, these three rooms right here in size. And when you first went in, right by the counter was a rack of comic books. And it was like good stuff. Like it wasn't just the generic, like X-Men.
There were pussies and
mainstream stuff.
In there.
Yeah. So I would go and buy comic books there because it was quicker for me to get there than to get to a comic shop. But the rest of the store was porn.
So was it like, see Wonder Woman's? Asshole.
No, it's just regular comics. And then I was in there so much, the guy was like, hey, I need somebody to help me like stock shelves and all. Do you want to do that? And I said, like, yeah, of course.
Is this another story where someone touches you inappropriately?
No, again, not was touched inappropriately. No.
Was he a priest? The fuck's wrong with you, Gordon? Shame.
So I went a few times on the weekends. I would go in the morning and help stock the shelves, and it was all porn magazines and stuff like that. Yeah.
How many did you steal?
None. My dad came and picked me up the one day.
And bought me as many as I wanted.
My dad came and picked me up the one day and realized what it was and made me quit.
Aww.
Yeah.
Hustling at that young age. I had a friend named Hank, and Hank's dad in the 70s, this is the 80s, in the 70s had like a perm and gold chains and jewels. Like he was like hip, I guess, right? The fucking open shirts, the chest hair and shit. Turns out he was really short, but I was fucking like 5, so he looked like tall to me, but he wasn't.
Right.
He had a healthy collection of fucking fucked up magazines in his basement, and we always played in his basement. So Hank's like, come here, man, check these out. And actually, he was like, hey, come here, man, check these out. And I was like, oh my goodness, that's amazing. And I didn't like it because I'm fucking 5 and 6. I didn't get it, right? But then, like, I don't know. He was like, we got to be very careful because my dad knows we touched his stash. It's like, I'm like, no problem. It's cool, man. We're just going to hang out and look at these and blah, blah, blah. It's that same kid's house that I saw Twist's sister on TV for the first time. They scared the living fuck out of me. Not that either one of you give a shit about
this. Why did Twist's sister scare you?
Do you remember what the makeup looked like when they were like originally out?
Yeah.
So there was a show called, I believe. All right. Do you know who Jerry Pentacoli was?
No.
There was a rumor that Jerry Pentacoli had stuck a gerbil into his rear end. And he was a newscaster.
Super hot.
He was a newscaster in Philadelphia in the 80s. And he had a show on Saturday mornings. I guess like Saturday afternoons, like 11:30 to 12:30 or something. And they would always play with like some video at the end of the show. And they played We're Not Gonna Take It, and they came out in the makeup, and I was like seven, six. I was like, ah! Like it scared the fuck out of me. Love that record though, by the way. It's called Stay Hungry. You don't even know who Twisted Sister is, do you,
Corey? I do actually.
How do you know who Twisted Sister?
I don't know, you just hear them around.
I hear them around? No, yeah. You don't hear them around. Well,
I believe that they have a song on Rock. No, Guitar Hero.
Yes.
That's possible. So, Corey, how did you find the electric guitar in your life?
I listened to music and I was like, oh, what's that? Oh, that's a guitar. Okay, I'll play that sometime.
Dude, seriously? That's the
last. I mean, that's really how I got into playing music. I'm not going to lie to you.
You're like, I'm going to do this.
I was like, I could probably do what they do up on that stage. Those guys are bitches.
Wow.
No, that's just
such a fuck you, every band.
Sentence. Jimmy Page ain't shit.
No. Fucking Corey. Actually, my girlfriend is named after her. After him.
Oh my God.
That's why her name is Page.
In the previous podcast, if someone was to touch your child inappropriately, you're like, I will fuck anyone. Which was a weird sentence. And now you're telling me that your fiance or soon-to-be fiance is named after Jimmy Page, but you refer to Jimmy Page as a her.
Yeah, that was an accident. I was thinking of Page her, like her, my girlfriend, but I was trying to refer to him instead.
I'm a huge Jimmy Page fan. That Puff Daddy song, Come With Me, was amazing.
What a dick move. I know. Right? All right, when you were a kid, Mike was telling me in a previous podcast that you always heard the Beatles were like the greatest thing ever, right?
Yeah.
I had fucking Zeppelin like jammed down my throat, right? How do you feel about Zeppelin?
Not a fan.
I fucking hate Zeppelin. What about you, Corey?
Impartial.
You're like, I don't know what you're talking about.
I've definitely heard their music. I've heard them and I've listened to their songs, but I haven't really actively tried to keep them as my musical taste.
I want to discuss guitar playing with you, but I feel like you don't give a shit about it that much. Seriously.
I mean, I do care. I mean, I took lessons from a random guy I knew one time. But
that sounded like a porno. There was a guy once.
Hey, why don't you come into my basement? And I'll teach you how to play the guitar.
Where he's like, I'm here to deliver a pizza.
It's so weird. I had to pay him $20 at the end of it, but I felt like I should be paid.
He just kept playing this repetitive wah-wah thing.
I still don't know you know how to do that, though.
You just banged your fucking head into the mic. How Johnny Zero of you. So I host a podcast with Johnny Zero called the TV Dads Wrestling Podcast. And I love Johnny. He's a good friend of mine. Mike knows him. He actually asked Mike to join his band like 17 different times once. Which was
in the same day.
Remember the gas mask thing? He's like, dude, play the theremin, man. Yeah. So anyway, Johnny Zero has a really bad habit of rubbing his face like this on the mic the whole time he's talking. And Corey just smashed his whole fucking head into the fucking microphone.
He had to one-up Johnny.
And like, yo, fuck that shit. I'm fucking Corey from Pig. Fuck that motherfucker. What? And you're like, oh, your face has been...
It's his microphone. I'm just trying to make it feel more like his.
Is that how we do it? By banging your fucking greasy Puerto Rican hair into the top of it?
Greasy? I took a shower this morning.
Yeah, this morning. It's morning again. So mathematically, you're behind. Well,
can I go take a shower real quick then?
I have two. I mean,
All right, let's do that.
I'm living large.
With you.
You fit. Mike. You're just fucking weird.
Oh, wait a second. I am Mike now.
So check this out. During my second marriage, I was banished to the other side of the house, and that was my shower for a few months before she left. And then Jay would come over and we'd fornicate in that room while the wife was in the other side of the house in the other room. I thought that was interesting. And I married that girl. Hey, baby. As she's eating popcorn and laughing at us.
As she should.
As she should. All right. So this we were talking off microphone. I had decided, unbeknownst to both of you, that this is going to be the Just Say No episode.
As we all do at this table.
So, Mike, this is actually a bit sad and a bit tragic. How did you discover chemicals when you were a child?
Oh. When first or how first?
How about both, motherfucker?
Man. So, it started, I started drinking really young. I think it was first grade.
Really? Yeah. Wait. Did you ever watch Different Strokes when you were a kid?
I've seen a few scattered episodes, but I'm not knowledgeable.
There was an episode where in first grade, one of the kids would put brandy in his fucking thermos and get hammered. And I remember thinking to myself, that's fucking impossible. That shit could never fucking happen in this fucking world. And son of a bitch, there were kids in my grade school who were doing that shit. Like, my parents didn't have it accessible.
I was that kid.
Well, explain how that could possibly happen.
So I had access to alcohol, so did a few friends of mine. So we would actually take entire – we were pretty fucking brazen. We would take entire bottles, and we had a decent length walk to school. This is when I went to school at St. Dominic's. And we
St. Dominic's is drinking. Okay, keep going.
Yeah, we would drink on the way to school because we would walk through Pennypack Park to get there. So we would drink on the way to school.
That's it? That's the whole story? So you were blasted the whole day?
Yeah, pretty much.
Would you come down around noon and get all dehydrated and shit?
Kind of, but then you're getting around lunchtime, and of course whatever was left was in the bottle in our bags.
So that's the first time you drank? You're like 6 years old.
Yeah, I was like 6 years old.
What motivated you to try to experiment with something like that?
It was available to us, and nobody seemed to care.
That's so sad. Corey, how about you? Are you alcoholic?
I don't even know when the first time I drank was, but I was
That's
because
you drink so
teens.
Much, because you're a drink.
Yeah. No, not at all. So my parents weren't even big drinkers or anything like that, so it's not like we had a lot of alcohol at all available within my household, so I probably didn't even hear of that until I was much older.
So when you're in high school, you start drinking with your friends?
No, I didn't even start. Well, yeah, I guess my junior year, I was 17, is when the first time I ever drank.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
You want to know how many times I drank?
Yeah, let's hear it.
Zero. That's water, motherfucker. You want to look at it? You want to smell it? That's water.
I do want to smell it.
It's a smart water on the bottle.
Yeah, but yeah, I've had vodka in there.
I smell it. I'm just kidding. I'm from a long line of dead alcoholics. Literally, like 7 generations, all fucking dead, all from alcohol. So my theory is I don't drink, right? Never going to die. They would never have died except they drank. I don't drink. I'm going to live forever.
No, I like it. Maybe possible. Like
it. No,
it's
not fucking possible, Corey. What is wrong with you? I was making a joke. No, I'm just kidding. Never drank, ever. I remember making a decision at like 5 or 6 years old. Literally, I'm like, I'm never fucking doing this. Ever. And I just never did. And I read somewhere that if you're the son of an alcoholic or the child of an alcoholic, you go in one direction or the other. Like, you will become an alcoholic, or you just can be like, fuck this, never. And never is definitely... Dude, it tastes awful. Like, both you guys are having a beer right now because we're recording. And we keep alcohol because we have parties here and stuff. I don't drink. I can't even fathom it. Like, if it tastes like a chocolate milkshake, I'm there. But it does not taste like a chocolate fucking milkshake, man.
So, do you like Arnold Palmer? Like the
golfer?
Yeah. No. Like the iced tea, like the drinks, the Arnold Palmer iced tea drinks.
Never had it.
You know the Arizona stuff? Like Arizona.
I remember Arizona iced tea, yeah. Sure.
So they have one called Arnold Palmer. They also have an alcoholic beverage version of that. I don't even taste the alcohol in that shit.
I can smell alcohol a mile away.
That's horrifying.
No, for real. So if I pick up a beverage and there's something in it, it burns my nostrils.
That's crazy.
Because do you smoke cigarettes?
I do not.
Do you do vape or anything?
I do not.
Have you ever smoked cigarettes?
I've never smoked. I had like smoked tobacco before and hookahs and stuff like that.
Okay. I've never smoked. So all of my nerves and all of my senses are peaked to such things. So smoking, it aggravates me a great deal. Like when someone like maybe hits a pipe or something around you while you're on a podcast, for instance.
Who would
very,
do that?
I don't know. But it's upsetting. Or if someone was to like, I'm telling you, I can smell. I have guys who work for me in my company. I can tell if they were drinking the night before. They just come in. I can just tell. Like I can fucking smell it. I fucking did something once. I knew somebody who, it was my second wife. She had a drink at lunch at noon. I saw her at midnight or 11 o'clock or something. We bumped each other before I went to sleep. And I was like, oh, you drinking today? And she's like, I had a beer at lunch. I'm like, yeah, I know. I can just fucking smell it. So my stepson's fucked. He's fucked. He's never going to – if he ever smokes, you smell the fingers, you're never getting it off. If he gets on his clothes, he's never getting it off. I got that kid caught. If he comes home hammered, no fucking way, dude.
Have you ever thought about taking a job as like one of those police canines to sniff out drugs?
No, I get paid ridiculous amounts of money to climb up people's buildings.
No, I guess that's just as good.
Like, this is a nice house, right?
Lovely.
Roofing. Cha-cha. No, I don't know. I like what I do a lot. It's pretty. You help people. Like, I like when you go in, there's like fucking shit falling in their house. And they're like, please fix my roof. Then you do. And they give you money for it. It's very nice, actually. What about you?
What about me? What?
Pharmacy thing, right?
Yes.
Do you like it?
No.
Like, is it a career per se?
No.
How'd you fall into that?
So I was originally actually going to school to become a pharmacist.
Oh my God in heaven, what the fuck? So? Why aren't you a pharmacist?
Then I started working in a pharmacy and I was like, fuck this.
Dude, they get paid, man.
No, not as much as you would think.
Years ago, I used to work for a company that handled their benefit information. So they'd call in. No, dude, they get fucking paid. Like,
so they did. There's been an increase in pharmacy schools, actually, in Pennsylvania in general. And ever since that, the market is actually flooded. So if you are a lower, like a new pharmacist, or you have a lower rating, you're not as performing as well, they will just cut days off of your work. We can be like, oh, we can only afford to pay for you for 4 days instead of 5 days now.
Yeah.
And they'll like.
But if you make $1,000 a day, that's a good week.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that's true as well.
I mean, they make more than you make. They make more than I make. Yeah. So it's like, what the fuck? I would just.
Well, I would say they're like. I mean, I work at. Maybe I shouldn't actually say.
Don't say
where I work, where they no longer are giving people, like pharmacists, raises. They told them, hey, you will no longer receive a raise anymore. Like pharmacists.
Free country that you can go somewhere else.
Right, exactly. So that's the thing. Like, people are getting more used to having, like, the abundance of pharmacies, like pharmacists around, that they're starting to take away slowly but surely all their benefits. So it's kind of starting to get fucked.
So what are you going to do now? You're going to stay there for the rest of your life just being the guy?
Well, I switched my major to pharmacology toxicology so that I can do research-based things instead but remain in the same field.
So you're still in school now?
No, I actually had to postpone it because I couldn't afford to go back.
Oh, that sucks. Where were you going?
University of the Sciences down in University City.
Mike, why don't you just pay for his college?
Okay.
There you go. So take care of it. I mean, it's like
$50,000.
Mike has that. Mike, if you look at celebrity net worth, Mike's really wealthy. Like, it's a thing. I don't know if
you Mike, why haven't you offered? No, I'm just kidding.
Dude, why don't you make a fucking Mike? I'm looking in your direction because it's a podcast. What's that thing called? Jay, what's that thing you want to get money online all the time? You like send me money online. A
GoFundMe
account. Fuck your cancer dog.
GoFundMe account.
So why don't.
Cancer dog.
Oh, anyway. Like why don't you start a GoFundMe, Michael, so we can send Corey back to college?
Do you want to start a GoFundMe to go to college?
I mean, we can try. I don't think anyone's going to.
If we get a grand, then you can just buy some weed and drugs and shit. Like, fuck, I mean,
Corey doesn't do drugs.
What'd you say?
Corey doesn't do drugs.
Do you do drugs, Michael?
No.
I'm now running for president, so no, I do not.
He's clean as ever.
Any one of you guys ever see somebody OD?
Yes, I've OD'd.
No, I have not.
All right, hold on. You've seen it or you've done it?
Both.
You haven't seen anything?
I haven't seen nor done it.
All right, Mike, who did you see OD?
Very many people, actually, throughout my life, mostly in childhood. Around third, so I said I was drinking first grade, drinking and smoking cigarettes. Then in third grade, my group of friends and I discovered drugs.
That's so lovely.
By seventh grade was when the first of us OD'd and died.
Like dead?
Yeah.
From what?
Heroin.
Snorting or needles?
Needles. I didn't do that, and neither did our other friends, so we were just like, dude, that guy fucked up. We're not like that.
At 12, you're like,
let's go do another line.
And learn the Pythagorean theorem.
That guy is super fucked up because he was doing heroin.
So you said you OD'd yourself?
Yes.
When was that?
Not long after.
What happened?
I took a bunch of shit, which was probably more of like a passive suicide attempt. Took a bunch of stuff, passed out, woke up thinking nothing had happened to me. And it was 3 days later.
You weren't in the hospital or anything?
No, nobody knew I was gone.
So this was when your mother was raising you?
Yes.
How bad was that fucking scenario?
Nobody knew I was gone for 3 days.
That'd be bad.
So, that's
pretty bad.
At like fucking 11, 12?
Something like that, yeah.
That's fucked up. How often do you speak to your mother, Corey?
Almost multiple times a week. I don't want to say every day, but pretty close every day.
I was aiming for every
day. So as much as I talk to your mom?
More.
No, Corey never wakes up next to her, though. So it's like,
it's a different
dynamic. How do you feel about that we're making fun of your mother in a bizarre sexual fashion? By the way, is she single?
She is single, actually.
She's not seeing anyone?
Not currently, if you'd like to attempt. No,
I'm married. I have a beautiful wife. But Michael is supposed to be single. My wife likes to discuss that, though. She gets upset. Like when there's photos of you on Instagram. And
I'm going to have to cut this.
Okay. Does anybody remember Herbie Goes Bananas. Remember that shit where the car was fucking racing around?
I remember Herbie movies. Yeah, isn't there like multiple ones?
There's like tons.
Yeah, I don't know what I saw, but I remember.
Yes, I recall.
You remember the crazy chick, Corey, who remade the shit in like 2005, 2006. What the fuck's her name? The one went off the deep end?
Lindsay Lohan.
Lindsay Lohan.
I do recall that. And that
but you don't remember the ones from the 70s.
No, I never watched them.
I mean, I only know Lindsay Lohan from Mean Girls.
Tell me it's not a good fucking movie.
I absolutely love Mean
Girls. Like, it's a good fucking movie.
Oh, I love that. That's literally one of my favorite movies. Do you ever, like, just put on something as background when you're doing other stuff?
Yes.
That's Mean Girls.
Do you know what I do? This is fucked up. Cocaine Cowboys. That's my background for stuff. Do you guys ever see a documentary called The 7-5?
No.
It's fucking madness. It's about this cop named Michael Dowd who just joined the force, and he was a good cop for, like, a year or 6 months or something, and then he just fucking took money, and he was like, oh, this is nice. And then by like year five, he was like running protection for a huge drug dealer in New York City. By like year 10, he's his own drug dealer in New York City and running protection, and of course he gets caught. And it's a great documentary about it. You guys should fucking see it. The 7-5, it's really good.
There are certain things that I realize that I shouldn't do in life, and be a cop is one of them.
I thought you were going to say selling drugs.
Well, selling drugs makes sense. I did that before. But being a cop, I can never do. Because, like, day one, I would just be trying to get bribes. Like, I would actively, like, leave the station and go find a drug dealer and be like, how can I help you?
Well, you would never get hired, Mike. They'd be like, we're going over your test results, and you wrote that you would shoot a child who was in possession of a toy gun? And we're really confused by this answer. Can you explain?
No, Mike just carries weapons on his person at all times. So if he shoots a person, he just puts it in their hand. He's like, they left hand, they're right hand. I don't fucking know. Put a gun in each hand. We'll be fine. Fuck it.
Double fisting guns.
Guns registered anyways.
That's the point, isn't it? Hey, so I try to keep this pretty lighthearted. This is like a funny podcast.
It's about to get dark.
There was a fucking school shooting very recently.
In Florida? Is that the one
you're
speaking
of? What are your opinions, Corey? What do you think of that situation?
It was really terrible, and like learning all the information about it and how poorly law enforcement actually responded to all the threats that they received is just disappointing in people in general.
Did it augment how you feel about weaponry or anything of that capacity?
Not really. Like, I mean, I do agree people shouldn't be carrying around automated or semi-automated weapons that frequently or that easily, but I don't disagree with the fact that people would like to protect themselves.
I like the mental health aspect of it. I personally would like to have the kind of that put part of the background type of situation.
I always wonder when they bring that up, the mental health part of it, if you're opening up possible discrimination issues from that point.
Or is it a control issue where the government could just be like, well, you're all mentally ill and you can't have weapons?
Well, yeah, and that's the other part of it then, the what's mentally ill then.
So that is the question. What exactly is mentally ill? And who's the person to gauge that in, like, in that percentage or portion of it?
You're going to have people who are trying to, you know, test other people to see if they're mentally ill. They're all going to give you different responses because it's all personal thought.
I know it's late, but you're like, you're going to have people testing other people about people when they're mentally ill with their people. I don't know. That's what I thought you said. It made me laugh.
I mean, I did.
I mean, I feel like, so we'll take me, for example. I feel like if I was to go and buy a gun and there was going to be some sort of a test, I could speak to a therapist who would tell you that I'm perfectly fine. And then someone opposing that, me having that gun, could find a therapist who's going to tell you I'm insane.
You are.
Just like in court when you get opposing.
That's a good point. Well, we're going to move away from this because it's fucking dark and I don't dig it. Do you have any idea who Jim and the Holograms are, Corey?
I absolutely love these segues.
No, so, please fill me in.
So school shootings, now Jim and the Holograms.
But no, there's a beef there because the other band on Jim and the Holograms were called the Misfits. But there's a fucking band called the Misfits who existed before the cartoon. But Corey, have you ever heard of Jim and the Holograms?
No. I've heard of the Misfits, though.
He's in your band. What the fuck's wrong with you? Like, how do you select this person to be your partner?
I'm really
in crime?
Cute, everybody.
He is.
No.
Super fuckable.
He's like a greasy young man with non-connecting goatee facial hair.
Super
fuckable. God made me this way, okay?
I will say this, though. You have beautiful hair. And I have no fucking hair. That's so
also true.
I admire the hair situation. I'm just mocking this because when I was your age, mine didn't grow together either. So don't fucking feel like it. And Chris Cornell died. He said he was 50 and his didn't grow together either. And he was a bad motherfucker. So what about you? Big Gem and the Hologram fans, Michael?
Yes.
No, I'm serious.
So am I.
So when you were a little kid, did you watch it?
Yes.
I watched it too. I love that shit.
I like Gem and the Holograms. What did you think of the live action movie?
Bad. I tried to.
What sucks about it for me is that there's a couple scenes that really work and made me thrill. Like, where I was like, man, this could have been something.
I remember seeing.
And that's worse to me.
Bro, I never walk out of movies. Ever, right? I paid money to see Josie and the Pussycats in the theater. Because I really was like, this could be a cool movie. It really, and conceptually, I was so bad. I left. Like, I took a girl, and there were, like, seven-year-old girls in the front going, ah, the whole time. And I was like, we're just leaving. This movie's so bad.
So was it more the experience than the movie then?
No, it's a bad – I saw it on fucking cable. It's dreadful.
Oh, no, I know it's a bad movie. It's I really just meant, bad. Did you leave because of the ambiance more than the movie?
No, the movie was pretty – like that, like you just said it. It's bad. I had just seen Blow with that girl, like, a week or two before, which is, like, a fucking masterpiece. And I'm like, let's go see the fucking Yoshi and Pussycat movie. I don't know. It was the chick from She's All That. Remember that movie?
Yes.
You do, don't you? Corey has no idea what we're saying.
I do not.
All right. We're too far back into the 90s right now from...
No, that's 2000s, I think. No, it is 90s. She's All That's like 99.
Yeah, it's 90s.
Fuck, man.
I was six.
Do you remember a sitcom in the 70s called Chico and the Man?
No, but I know of it, but I never watched it.
Neither did I. Freddie Prinze Sr. was on Chico and the Man, shot himself in the head. Freddie Prinze Jr. winds up in that movie She's All That. Dun, dun, dun. And then he was, all right, this is not my joke, Corey. This is not my joke, but I love this fucking joke. The fucking, oh my God, what's it called? Sarah Michelle Gellar was in what fucking TV show?
Buffy.
You know how you would describe Buffy the Vampire Slayer to somebody who's never seen it?
How would I?
Yes.
A woman.
It's a question. I say, do you know how you would? You go, no,
no. How
would you?
How do I do it?
A Jew broad who fights Draculas.
That's perfect.
Not Dracula. Draculas. Greatest fucking joke ever. Artie Lang. Thank you, sir. She's a Jew broad who fights Draculas. Love that fucking joke. You're supposed to laugh into the that microphone, was, you fucks.
That was a really good show. Already. Her Got Milk ad, I believe, was very formative for many young men at that time.
For me, the original Buffy, the chick in the movie, who had the 90210 guy in it.
It's Christy Swanson, right?
I fucking loved her. She was in a movie in the 80s called, like, My Fucking Robot or some shit. Yeah. Do you remember that fucking awful movie?
Yeah.
It's a great movie.
I actually really liked the Buffy the Vampire Slayer movie, but I'm a huge Luke Perry fan.
So. No, you're not.
Yes, I am.
So what was the fucking, the cowboy movie? What was it called?
The cowboy movie.
Oh, you're not a huge fucking Luke Perry fan then, are you, motherfucker?
What cowboy movie?
The 8 Seconds movie it's called.
Oh, I have no idea. I'm 90210, Buffy, and now Riverdale.
Oh, Riverdale's good.
Yeah, I love
Riverdale. What is Riverdale?
What do you mean, what is Riverdale? The greatest fucking show on TV.
I don't, you
Riverdale
gotta tell, is. I don't know what it is.
It's a like pseudo soap opera based on the current Archie comics.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
It totally is.
Yeah, with Luke Perry and Skeet Ulrich in it.
All right, I'm going to show you.
So any female my age who isn't watching it just started.
All right, you love Luke Perry, right?
Yeah.
All right, watch this fucking thing. So we're doing the podcast. Luke Perry in 1994 made a movie called 8 Seconds. That's Luke Perry. You see his belly? Oh, look at that. Luke Perry goes and joins the rodeo.
Yeah, I would not have watched this.
So this is the first thing he makes off his 90210 fame, for real. Called 8 Seconds, Luke Perry, 1994.
I mean, Brian Austin Green became an actual rapper for a while, so...
It's funny you bring that up. So Bud Bundy is a character in the TV Dad's Wrestling podcast, right?
Yeah.
He just died. I don't even know if you know that.
No.
In episode 16 or whatever, 18 you just put out, he dies in the fucking episode. He fights. This is fucked up. Do you know who Danny Bonaducci was or is?
No.
Really? Remember heard of the Partridge Family?
Oh, yes.
Remember the little redheaded kid, the smartass?
Okay.
He's all grown up and he's on steroids for real in real life. Yes, Danny Bonaducci is in the fucking Red Federation because TV Dads. Michael doesn't give a fuck. So Danny Bonaducci crushes Bud Bundy's larynx with the fucking ring bell. And then as he's being carried back in a stretcher, remember the show Small Wonder? Do you remember the show Small Wonder?
Yeah, I have a good Small Wonder story. Keep going.
The dad from Small Wonder kicks Bud Bundy in the head and he dies. He fucking cracks the skull. So Bud Bundy's dead. The real tragedy for me is that Bud Bundy, who was an actor, who fucking was a rapper on his stupid TV show, never got into a tag team with Brian Austin Green from 90210. That had been like, they could call him the rapper. It's been fucking great. What is your fucking Small Wonder story?
So Christian and I used to do a podcast called Social Sins.
Yeah, what the fuck happened to that shit?
We, for stopped. Reasons that I can't discuss on air, we had to stop doing it for a little bit.
Okay.
We're going to start doing it again, though.
Lies.
One of the episodes we talked about, so Christian had a thing for the Small Wonder robot.
You know, she wasn't that hot when she grew up. She's weird looking. But
no, yeah, well, that's one of the things that we did. So one of the things we talked about on the show was like looking up girls that we were into when we were kids to see what they look like now.
Great concept.
Things like that. And we were talking about Small Wonder, and he said that he had a thing for the Small Wonder robot, which led down a whole path of the moral logistics of fucking robots.
See, and this is we deal with this in the TV Dads Wrestling, you know, podcast.
So let's just say you're the boy in Small Wonder. The dad makes the robot at work.
You're fucking the sister.
Brings it home for your robot friends. So you're fucking her, right?
Yeah.
You grow up. She doesn't because she's a robot.
Ooh.
So she still looks like a
now,
kid
this is
as
where,
you're getting
no,
older.
This is where you're flawed. If you still watch, if you watch, oh my God, Corey, you sick fucker. If you watch Small Wonder, the robot grew like a regular child.
Well, no, we just use that as
an
example.
Well, you can't change it up.
We use that as an example, like if in a Small Wonder style scenario. But like, there's a difference where we came down on this. It's whether or not you're a pedophile. For
no,
fucking
robots. You let her blow you, but you don't fuck her anymore. It's wrong.
That's where you draw the line.
Yeah. But here's the thing. It's a pleasure droid. You ever watch fucking South Park?
Yes.
Remember when Cartman dresses like a robot?
Yes.
He's like, are you made for pressure? He's like, no, Osimo, not made for pleasure. Ew. That's my South Park.
Well, what we decided on is if you're an adult and you intentionally go and buy a child-looking robot,
well, then you're a freak. You're a fucking pedophile. No, they're making fucking sex dolls like that. They really are
now.
Yeah,
it's really big in Japan now.
Really?
Yeah.
Child sex dolls?
No, just sex dolls in general.
Well, no,
I'm fine with sex
dolls. I meant the child sex dolls. Oh, like he means
child sex dolls. To me, see, that makes you a pedophile. Now, if a Small Wonder style situation where you get a robot when you're a kid, you fall in love with said robot, and you're fucking that robot for the rest of your life, you grow old, the robot stays the same, I don't think you're a pedophile then. I think it falls into like a weird gray area, though.
You both look at me like, what do you think?
What do you think, Vex? Well, when you're fucking child-looking robots,
no, you let it. The answer is you let it blow you. It's a pleasure droid. You just don't fuck anymore. It's weird.
I disagree.
Or a super robot hand job, which could frankly be fucking breathtaking.
Be I'm a friction grip. Guy, so
I think that'd be the tightest that. Grip ever.
Yeah.
What the fuck is wrong with you?
I don't want to like crush my urethra though.
Not that you've done that before or anything. I have. Yes, he has. You don't know that story?
I do not. I'm interested now.
I guess you're going to share on the...
I broke my dick.
Oh.
How'd you break it?
I don't remember.
Fucking lie to me.
It was a long week or so. I went out and did some shows and came back. And to celebrate coming back, I went out with some friends. And we stayed out all night drinking and doing stupid stuff. So the next morning I woke up after my like 15 minutes that I dozed off on the couch after I came home, went upstairs, get the morning pee in, and it was just blood.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, this is probably not good. That's, I'm not a doctor, but it was incredibly painful. And I did not have insurance at the time, so had to go to the clinic.
And, so you went to the clinic.
They looked at me and they were like, "So you broke your dick." They didn't use those words, but they were like, "You've made
you broke your dick."
I am a doctor.
You've made incredibly poor life decisions recently.
You must have broken your dick like, somehow.
There's damage done to your penis, and you need to kind of take it easy and follow these instructions, and hopefully you'll be back on track. So it was right around that time though that I decided to get a day job to help pay down my student loans quicker. So I was studying. So I'm taking antibiotics and stuff like that, chugging as much fluid as I could. And I was only allowed to drink water and cranberry juice chugging as much water and cranberry juice as I could and taking all these medications. And it alternates between like a burning and like a painful itching, like a really bad sunburn, but inside your penis.
This is just going on and on.
As I'm learning to bake, doing my training in a bakery.
Actually, well, the brownies were also burning.
When I've only had one STD in my entire life.
That wasn't an STD. I just fucked you my dick.
You broke your
dick
out.
Yeah.
You but fucked your dick?
Up.
Oh.
I got chlamydia, you know? Mm-hmm. And it was just in the 90s, a long fucking time ago. Do you remember when Scott Weiland got busted for the first time with drugs way back in the day?
The good old days.
Do you remember that at all when you were like a kid?
I don't remember the first time. He was like the alt rock old dirty bastard. Like he was just in and out all the time.
It was like 94, 95-ish. I think it was like 94 he gets busted. Anyway, I had just started training at this place, which is closed now, called the Broad Axe Tavern. And I'd get up in the morning and my dick would hurt when I peed. And then I'd get to work for like training. I'm like, the head of my dick hurts, man. So, I mean, there's no internet back then. So when I found out eventually what I had a couple days later, that's one of the symptoms. As you get up in the morning, your dick's just like, ow, my dick, ow, 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 ow.
Terrible.
So I had this long-term girlfriend, a statuesque, beautiful brunette. And I, my problem is that sometimes I wanted to bang like a pudgy blonde, you know what I mean? But I always wore condoms. Like that thing we were talking about earlier, like when we first spoke in the My Summer Vacation film, which is now being featured prominently on Amazon Prime. You should go download that shit and watch it. But the point is, she said she went to the doctor and she had it, which means I had it and I had to give it to her. And I fell for that shit, right? But the thing of it is, like, obviously she was fucking somebody else, not with a condom to get us chlamydia in the first place. And then she gave me the drugs, and she's all mad at me. And then I got my dick fixed, and that was the end of that. And that never happened again. And then I was so paranoid through the rest of my life, I would go get STD tests. I'd be like, I have it again. And I never had it again. But they'd be like, yeah, there's something wrong with your dick. So did you ever get an STD in your – I'm sorry, a sexually transmitted test? Yeah.
No.
You've never been tested your dick ever?
No, I've never.
So listen to this shit. When I started getting tested, they would open up the fucking urethra and they jam a fucking Q-tip in your cock. Mm-hmm. Now you can just piss. And everything comes out in the piss now. But back in the day, they're like, hold on. And you're like, and it's like a minute or something. They have to hold it in there. And they're like, oh, okay. And they pull it out. And then when you pee, it like shoots out in 75 directions and like shoots the walls and shit. It's really weird.
Does it have like a blast guard?
No. They just send you home and you piss on your wall and you're like, God damn it. But I was so paranoid through the 2000s that I broke my dick that I would just go get jammed all the time by these doctors.
Oh, Jesus.
And then the worst part is when you go to the fucking...
You just started to develop a fetish. I know. You try doing it at home a couple of times?
It's always bad, Mike. It's never good. And I remember
It hurts. My dick hurts just thinking about it. And I've been through this and my dick hurts just
the last time I went... The doctor was a stone cold 10. Blonde hair, blue eyes, perfect body, a medical doctor. And I'm like, hey, I'm in a band and I broke my dick. Can you check my dick for me? And she's like, yes, you fucking loser. And they put it in, you know, and you sit there and you're like, and you get it out. And then they give you the drugs. You take these giant horse pills for your broken dick. And then you get that phone call 3 days later. Still, your results came back. You have nothing. So good luck taking those pills. And I'm like, oh, God damn it, motherfucker. Fucking turned my dick for no reason. You know. So that was my life.
Oh, God, that was your whole life.
I just fucked a lot of dirty girls. We were on tour for a lot. I just fucked everybody. My first wife had passed away, and I was very, very sad. I was heartbroken. Mm. And I don't drink. I don't smoke any drugs, but I did like the ladies. And we were on tour, and they were like, hey, fuck me. And I'm like, yes, yes.
Oh, fuck all of you. Line up, please.
All of you. Did you ever see that movie Colors?
No.
This comes up in every one of my podcasts. No one's ever seen this goddamn movie. Ice-T, Colors.
I've seen it.
Colors. Well, there's a fucking parable sort of in the movie. There's these two cows, the two bulls, a father bull and a son bull, and they're on top of a mountain. And the son bull says, hey, Dad, let's run down in that valley and fuck some of those cows, right? Because there's a whole lot of cows. And Dad's like, no, son, let's walk down and fuck them all. And you're laughing, right? That's smart. And I was like, yeah, I'm going to fuck them all. And I mean, that was my thing. So Sean Penn's movie with Robert Duvall fucked up my dick, you know, pretty much. But no, I would just go. I remember there was this girl. I want to say her name. Her first name started with an L. Beautiful blonde girl. Big boobers. A little thick, but really pretty. And she was a bartender at one of the places we were playing all the time. I started fucking her all the time. And I decided that she broke my dick. I'm like, this is the one that broke my dick. And I went and got my, and I wouldn't talk to her for like a week. I just fucking ghosted her. And I fucking and got my dick.
Broke my dick, get away.
No, I got my dick checked. And then it came back, there was nothing wrong. And I was like, oh. And I called her and fucked her again. Like, I'm a fucking asshole.
Yeah, you didn't break my dick, so like, hey. Drop your panties right
I
now.
Did,
please.
I did have crabs before.
Well, yeah. Well, yeah, tell the story. I know the story, but tell it. It's a great story.
What sucked about having crabs is I didn't catch crabs from somebody that I was having sex with. I had sex with the person who had crabs' roommate. And when I threw my clothes, my... We, you know, it was late night coming back from a club. A friend of mine used to do goth club nights in Philly.
Gay.
I know. Dancing so I was coming back with a girl, air quotes. And we went into her room. She had a couple of roommates. And I, you know, take my clothes off. I throw them. They land on top of a roommate's clothes. Next morning, got to go to work. Get up. Still got some lube on here. Trying to scrub that off. Everything. Grab my clothes. Pull them on. Get out of there. I'm in work. Dick starts to feel weird. Something's going on. Kind of hurts a little, but like all over in that general area. So make an appointment with the doctor. Luckily, he can see me that day. I was young, though, still. And I was under my dad's insurance. So I had to call up my dad to get the insurance card to go to go to the doctors. And I, at this point, like I'm hours into this, I'm pretty sure I got crabs. So I had to call up my dad and I was like, hey, I need to go to the doctor. I need to make an appointment right away. He said he can see me, like an emergency thing. I need the insurance card. And he's like, oh my God, what's wrong? You okay? And I was like, just give me the insurance card. And,
I don't want to know.
Yeah, he's like, well, what's going on? What are your symptoms? I'm like, Jesus Christ, Dad, just give me the fucking insurance card. And he just keeps going on. And I was like, I have crabs, Dad.
I broke my dick.
Like, yeah, hey, I'm pretty sure I have crabs.
Can I get that?
Can I have the insurance card now? So... We go there. He looks at me. He's like, you got crabs? And I was like, yep. And he writes me a prescription for the shampoo. So I'm just like, well, fuck this. I'm not taking any chances. When I get home, I'm shaving. So I shave everything. Then I use the shampoo. And the thing, it's a mistake.
Don't tell Corey because he doesn't know.
I do know.
It's a mistake.
I prescribe it to
people. It's a mistake. All the pores are open.
Yeah. Oh, burns so bad. So bad. But that was the end of my crabs. I only had crabs for a day, but it sucked. But then I had to tell the girl because I was like, shit, she might have crabs. And it hit me like,
bitch,
did she give me crabs? Like, how the fuck did I get crabs? Because I'm not fucking anybody else. I was like, she either gave me crabs or if she didn't, there's no way she's going to, because I didn't cheat on her. There's no way she's going to believe this. So I called her up and I'm like, listen. Either you cheated on me or I don't know how the fuck this happened, but I have crabs and I didn't, before you even say it, I didn't fucking cheat on you. Like I'm defending myself. And she's like, I know. I was like, did you cheat on me? She's like, no, my roommate just came and told me and our other roommate that she has crabs and we need to stay away from all of her stuff. I was like, God damn it. She's like, where was your stuff this morning? I said, I just threw it on the floor and it was like directly on top of her clothes. So it's all right, though. I got her back later because she was like, hey, I told her that you got crabs from her. She's really embarrassed. Don't say anything about it. So for like a month or two, I don't. And again, they never came back. That was it. Between the shaving and the burning all of the flesh off of my dick, there was nothing else left. So I didn't say anything for a couple of weeks. And then I was over their apartment and everybody was asleep except for me and the girl that I got crabs from who I didn't fuck. I was like, hey, you gave me crabs. That's really fucked up. And she's like, oh, I know. I'm so sorry. I was like, listen, I'm going to do something to get you back. And she's like, what? And I was like, I forgive you. I understand that this stuff happens, but I'm going to get you back. So another couple weeks goes by and she had a Tweety Bird pillow that she had had since she was a kid, like a little kid.
Did you fuck the pillow?
Mm.
I fucked the girl who I was having sex with anally. Then went over, wiped my dick off on the Tweety Bird pillow.
That's not that big a deal.
Left it there. She slept with the Tweety Bird pillow.
Oh, that's a big deal.
The next morning, I made coffee. I woke her up, gave her a cup, sat on the edge of her bed, gave her a cup of coffee. She's like, oh, thanks. And I was like, hey, I fucked your friend in the ass and wiped my dick all over the pillow you just slept on all night. Enjoy your coffee. So
you should have taken a picture.
Corey. Should have.
Yes.
What were your thoughts of this story?
I mean, best comeback ever.
I feel like we should have laughed at the punchline, and it was just dead silence. Like, oh! Well, it's,
she threw the pillow away. I actually felt bad about her throwing it. I thought she would just wash it.
You feel a little
but
bad.
But she threw it away. But, yeah.
But what kind of life choices is she making? She's in college getting crabs. Like she's.
Oh, no, no, yeah. But I felt bad when she threw it out because she was upset about that. And I was like, you could have just washed it. I don't have crabs.
Anymore.
No, it's just anymore. Yeah.
And some cum, okay?
What's the worst thing you ever did to your sack or your penis while shaving?
So I like trim down, but I don't usually clean shave. I had to get surgery, and they had to. I had a cord that was obstructing blood flow, and they had to go in through your groin to get to the cord. So the nurse is like, "Hey, I'm going to shave you," and I was like, "No, you're not. I'll do it myself." And she's like, "No, I have to do it." It's so she pulled out. I don't know if you guys have ever been shaved for a surgery. They have this. It's like it looks like a preschool version of a razor. Like it's this big blocky piece of plastic, and the idea, I guess, is that it's safer. And she is just going fucking insane on me. Like she just like slaps some water and soap on me and just like ripping away at it. And I was just like, she's going to cut everything off. She's going to cut my sack open, cut my dick off. We get through the whole thing and everything. And she could tell how scared I was because we're getting towards the end. She's just like, she does the whole thing in like a minute. And she's like, you look really nervous. Everything's okay. I was like, no, you're doing an awesome job. This is great.
Can you put your finger in my butt?
Well, that came later. She's like, I just got to finish this one little slice the shit out of me. The last stroke of the razor.
She does that to everybody,
so
actually?
Mad.
She's like, I fucking hate shaving these fucking balls.
So I was so Christy fucking mad at her. Week. But I, again, got back at them.
No, Corey, I'm with you. I'm a shaver, but you're mad about it?
No. That nurse was. She's like, nurse. I fucking having to hate shaving all these balls all the goddamn time.
I have a penis story that is, it's so disturbing. It only proves how much of a fucking deviant I actually am.
I think I know what story this is.
What do you think it is?
Does it involve feminine products?
It does.
Yeah.
Corey, bear down. I have to put this in the books.
Bear down.
I have to put this in the books, and I have no fucking
idea. Oh, you have to. Yeah, it's a good story.
Okay. I'm in a band. Yes. It all starts with, I'm in a band. We played a place called Doc Watson's that you never heard of. That used to be on 11th Street. Mike knows it.
Yes, and destroyed it.
And destroyed it. Good club. We were becoming one of the house bands slowly. Like we're doing like, I think, one Saturday a month or something. Like we're in the rotation, which was really cool. We could book the whole night. So I walk in for one of our shows, and there's this cute little girl taking the money and checking IDs right behind the table. And I just flirt with her because when I'm like – the name of my book is 12 feet tall and bulletproof because when I get off stage, I honestly believe that I'm 12 foot tall and you can't kill me. I really believe it. Now, it's not true, obviously, but I feel that way. So I walk in with this air of confidence. What the fuck are you? I'm Vex. Who are you? Woo! You know, boozy-boozy-bop. David Lee Roth shit. So we load in, everything's cool. I keep flirting with her every time I have to pass her throughout the night. And she's cute. She's like 18 years old or some shit. I'm like 22, 23. And we do our show. We get done our show. It's 2 o'clock in the morning. We're getting paid out. She had to pay us because she was the door girl. And I was like, what are you doing after the show, boosty, boosty, bop, you know? And she's like, well, you know, no, I'm going to go to bed. I'm like, come hang out with us. We'll star scream, ha, you know? So I scoop her up. And I think I said to her, I was like, oh, we're going to move the gear back to the house, and then you and I can go and have some meal with somebody. A little diner. Right? So the roadies come in. She comes in. I sit her on my couch, move all the gear in. And now I go upstairs. I'm washing the makeup off my face because I'm a whore. I wear fucking whore makeup when I play live, right? Mm. I come down. All the roadies are gone, and she's sitting on the couch. Now, the girl took off her own shoes of her own volition, which for me back then meant I'm going to fuck this girl. If you come in my house and you take off your own shoes, like you're comfortable enough to do that, yeah, I'm going to get laid. That's how
you
I
have removable shoes? That's a
an
yes.
affirmation.
It's just how I felt. So I turn on the TV. I'm like, oh, it's a little late. Maybe we won't get anything to eat. We'll just hang out. I put on HBO, whatever the fuck I'm doing. We're hanging out. And so we start kissing. And I'm rolling around. And I go put a shirt. I'm playing with her boobs and stuff. And then I'm like, all right, I'm going to fuck this girl, you know? So I slip off her... was it a skirt? It was probably a skirt. I guess it was a skirt. I didn't slip it off. I like went up. And there was underwear. So I get the underwear and remove it. And she lets me. So everything's cool. There's no verbal affirmation yet, but it's on, right? And so little Vex is at attention. And I just start, you know, hammering. And I'm hammering and I'm hammering. And this weird sensation is happening against the head of my penis that I know is not right. Like, I know something. Something's not right. But it was pleasurable. I'm like, well, this is interesting, you know? So we're hammering.
This hurts already.
What'd you say?
This hurts already. Just thinking about this.
We're hammering. We're hammering. I think we even went upstairs. Like, we stopped hammering and went up. And they, yeah, I think it started on the couch. We go, so now we're in the bed. Now I'm fucking going at it. Like, I'm like, rah, rah, rah. And this thing is just there. I'm like, this is interesting. So I get done. I think I shoot it all over her fucking stomach or wherever. Yeah, probably her tummy. And then I notice my hand's full of blood. And I'm like, oh, I guess she was on her period, you know. But I have damaged the helmet of my penis because she had a fucking tampon in and never took it out.
Oh, no. Oh,
does that hurt? Think I about just that?
Gouged. So Mike likes to say that he likes roughness when he masturbates. Right. He has no fucking idea.
Not like that.
Rough, but not a grit. So,
like a light grit sandpaper.
So you know what your helmet looks like of your penis. Now imagine 70, 80,000 slices across the top of it in the formation of this fucking string in every fucking direction.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, that
but
hurts.
She's 18. She's a kid. She didn't want to admit that she had it in because it was like a thing was flowing or whatever. So I'm like mad, but I just came and it felt really good. And I didn't comprehend how fucked up my dick was yet. So I'm like washing my dick in the sink, you know, and I'm like, oh, I'll drive you home, whatever, you know, fucking thing here. And then her roommate had to go fish it out.
Oh.
Because little Vex isn't that little. And that shit was up there.
Oh, yeah, it was.
And they had to go fish it out and do all that stuff. I saw that girl for, huh?
Did you watch them?
No, no, I just kicked her out of my car. I'm like, bye, I don't fucking know you. Yeah, that was cool. And then she booked our first LA tour many years later.
Oh. And you're like, hey, how'd you do with that tampon in your pussy?
Well, no, I started seeing her after that because she was pretty rock and roll. She was pretty gnarly chick.
You were like, nice.
Yeah, yeah, you're like, you're scummy. I dig it. My dick healed up pretty quickly. But, like, that happened. And I have to put that in the book fucking somehow.
You do. That has to be in the book.
Yeah.
So when I had said about going back to the shaving and I had to get that surgery. So after the surgery, my insurance wouldn't cover a stay in the hospital, which I should have had after that surgery. So the doctor was like, listen, you can't stay overnight, but you have to stay here until you pee so we can make sure that
we didn't cut anything.
I was like, okay. Now, anybody who knows me, I have the bladder of like an incontinent 2-year-old. Like, if I look at a beer long enough, I'm going to pee. So this shouldn't be a problem, right? 4 hours later, chugging water, juice, anything they can get their hands on, nothing. Nothing's happening. So finally, my girlfriend and my father were in the room with me. And it hit me like all at once. And I just turned to them and I was like, you guys should leave. If you choose to stay, there's a bathroom in the room. It's like a private room. I was like, if you choose to stay, you're opting to watch this. And they were like, what? I just got up, pulled the dress thing up and just started pissing everywhere.
Oh, no.
All over the room, all over the wall, the floor, everything. Because I was never going to make it to bed. The way that it hit me, it was like a sharp, sudden pain. And I just knew, I was like, listen, you can leave, you can stay, but if you're watching, like, you made that choice. Pull it up, piss on everything. And just so much. Like, it just looked like somebody punctured a hole in like a gallon of water and just took it all over the room.
What color was the urine?
It was like a light yellow. It wasn't red. So that was what mattered. So I finish and my dad's like shell-shocked and he's just like, what did you just do? And I was like, I was never gonna make it to the bathroom. He's like, you didn't have to walk all over and piss on everything. And I was like, listen, it was already happening. Like, it was go big or go home time. Like, so my dad's like, we need to get out of here. So we leave the room and the nurse is like, oh, did you go? I was like, yeah. And she's like, we got to check in. I was like, oh, I flushed. It's fine. And she's like, there was no redder. There was a nope, nope, I'm fine. So she's like, well, you can't walk out. We have to get you a wheelchair.
Oh, my
so
God.
They get the wheelchair and they're wheeling me. And the doctor's walking beside me. And he's like, why are you in such a rush to leave? And I was like, no, we just need to go. and my dad's backing me up. He's like, yeah, we got to go. We got to go. There's stuff. Yeah. And my girlfriend is mortified. She can't say anything. Yeah. There's no words inside of her body. So we're getting down there and he's like, do you have any questions? And of course, in front of my dad and girlfriend, I'm like, how long should I wait before I have sex? Just had surgery. pissed all over the hospital room. This is this is the arc of my day. Got my ball shaved and cut. Had surgery where they go through my groin. And I'm like, hey, when can we have sex? So he's like, use your best judgment.
You're like, oh, now. Oh. Fuck.
So I have no best judgment. So I go home watching porn. First thing, obviously, you want to convalesce. You put some porn on. Girlfriend comes over. She had to. She ran and like pick up my medications and stuff like that. Comes over and I was like, "Hey, let's fuck." She's like, "Do you think that's a good idea?" I was like, "He said, use my best judgment. I feel like having sex." I also didn't feel anything because I was on a lot of painkillers. So we kind of start getting something going. All the stitches rip open, bleeding everywhere. I'm terrified.
Wait, wait. Does she stop? Because if she doesn't stop, that's a keeper.
Yeah, she stopped. Okay. I'm absolutely terrified. Like, I've never before or since been that scared in my entire life. And my dick got so hard from my fear. Like, I'm not the kind of person who, like, is into pain and stuff like that. But the more afraid I, because, like, I got up and tried to get to the bathroom. I can barely walk. I'm bleeding everywhere. I'm all swollen down there from the actual surgery. So it just looks like a massacre happened to my penis. So I am so scared. I'm about to start crying. I'm just getting harder. Like, I can feel myself getting even harder, like impossibly hard from being afraid. So I called the doctor. He gave me a cell phone number in case there was an emergency. So I call him on his cell phone and he's like, "What happened?" And I was like, "I'm bleeding everywhere. I'm freaking out." So I'm telling him, he's like, "Just calm down and tell me everything that happened." I went home and I put some porn on. He's like, "What?" So I start describing the porn to him. He's like, I didn't mean that. I meant, why were you watching porn? And I was like, then my girlfriend came over and I was like, "Let's have sex." And he's like, "Why? You just had surgery." I was like, "I asked if it was okay. You said it was okay." He's like, "No, I didn't. I said, use your best judgment." And I was like, "Right." And it seemed okay at the time. He's like, "You're hours out of a major surgery. Near your penis." Like, what are you doing? So then I explain it to him and he's like, "Come back to the hospital." He said, "Before you do, throw away my cell phone number." he's like, you are a fucking disgusting animal. He's like, "Come back to the hospital." He's like, "You just ripped your stitches. I'm going to stitch you back up again." Then I start explaining to him about the erection and how scared I am and how the erection won't go away. Because I'm so afraid and somehow I'm sexually aroused by the fear and the blood. And he's just like, "I hate you so much." Yeah. It's like, "I hate you so, so much." It's like, "Just come to the hospital. Hopefully you won't come in with an erection covered in blood."
Yeah, I can't promise.
Yeah. So I went, got my stitches redone and never called him again.
So wait, how old were you?
If
you say you were 11, that would make this so much better.
No, it was probably like 18, 19.
Oh my god,
like
that's the greatest story ever.
Yeah, it was like just out of high school. So 18,
it makes
19.
Me feel like my story with the tampon is just fucking weak now, man.
Yes. No, you know what? Actually, I was older than that. Now I think about it, I was mid 20s.
Oh shit.
Yeah, that was mid 20s.
So disturbing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And we got that on Vex podcast. There's nowhere to go from here. So, Corey, how have you fucked your dick up?
Oh, God. I don't
I've never done anything. Corey, shit.
No, but for real, though, I don't think I've actually fucked my dick up in any way, shape, or form.
You haven't lived.
I haven't lived yet. I know. I want to leave here and go fuck my dick up somewhere.
This is the important part, though. I'm 35, and after the three incidents I just described, still going strong.
Why would it not be? We're fucking, you're young, man.
I'm not young. I'm 35. Didn't you hear the first part of that?
Do you not understand mathematics? How this works?
It's old as fuck.
The president's 72. And he literally got caught fucking a porn star. I think we're okay, man.
I'm just saying it. I don't think he had bloody petrified fear boner, though.
Petrified boner.
Is fear boner a thing? Is that like a fucking...
I mean, if murder boner is a thing.
Murder boner.
Well, I mean, for my mild medical knowledge, you have a flight or fight instinct in your body. And there are cases where if you are afraid...
Where was any of them fuck?
Fuck? But listen. In extreme cases, when you are afraid, when you're coming down from that fear, you can ejaculate because of the fear. Yeah. You just come. Like,
that's, that's a
fear ejaculate.
That's a weird weak.
I'm in.
I'm in.
I'm in.
Fearjaculate.com. Our next short for Amazon Prime, Fearjaculate.
I am actually, I was at one point supposed to make a video called Bloodjaculate.
That's not even that weird, actually.
And
if this fucking story.
I know. So it started with, there was an interview with someone on TV that became like a minor like viral hit. And it was because they were asking the guy something and he said, it's like ejaculating blood, like a bloodjaculate. And the live local news reporter was just terrified and just cut really quickly to something. He's like, all right, and back to you guys in the studio. So it became like this funny little like viral video. And these people, somebody posted it to my timeline on Facebook and these people were like joking about it. And I was like, I named this producer that I knew. And I was like, if you put up the money for it, I'll direct a movie called Bloodjaculate for you. And everybody's like laughing and stuff like that. And then like 5 minutes later, I got a text message. Like, how much? And I was like, how much what to make Bloodjaculate? Like, what's the budget proposal for Bloodjaculate?
You're like 48 grand.
Yeah. And I was like, from my Facebook post 30 seconds ago. So for a minute there, it almost looked like I was going to make a movie called Bloodjaculate.
I got to tell you, this has been a very colorful podcast. We visited Gem and the Holograms. We talked about shootings, fucking teenage kids, like bad stuff, man. Destroying our penises. This has been 3 full hours of the Vex on Vex podcast with members of Pagan. Corey, do you have any departing words?
Thanks for having me.
Oh, thank you for being here, sir. I appreciate that. I was going to say that would be no. You don't want to talk, but thank you. I appreciate it. Mr. Belinsky.
Thank you so much for having me on here.
Why, thank you. You came over, you drank our beer. It's good times. You
know? I know.
It was a good beer.
Oh, yeah, I wouldn't know. But, you know, chocolate milk's my thing. So this is the Vex on Vex podcast. 3 hours long with members of Pagan. So this is VexX telling you to stay frosty.